When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
What up, player profiler faithful to Maddie Key? Warm welcome to the latest episode of The Game Plan. Today's show, it's all about letting go. It's all about letting go of some of these rookies that we've been holding on to so tightly. These rookies that we've grown to love throughout the draft process, the rookie process, our draft process, all this good stuff. But it's time to let it go, because if you have a championship in your sights, you're beaming in, looking out for a championship run, it's okay to let some of these rookies go. And I'm here today to talk about some of those. Of course, we're also going to go diving deep into the bargain bin, because we got to get those wins. It's week 9, ladies and gents. It's do or die time. We are fighting for those playoff spots. We are fighting for those first round buys. We are getting ready to just throw haymakers from now until the end of the season to try to get some wins. So, ladies, gentlemen, children of all ages, all of the planners tuning in today for a solo epo. You know, last year it was all about me going solo. This new year I've had some guests on and I've loved it. Guests will be back. But today, it is a solo epi, and I have to get it out. I love solos because I can just rant and rave like I'm doing literally right now. So, my planners, my friends, get out your pens and your pads, and let's start game planning to get those week 9 dubs. Seeing Rob in the chat, Albert in the chat, Chef in the chat, Ruckus in the chat, the producer extraordinaire, Jonathan Lang in the chat, Rise and Grind, smash the like button, people, yeah. Let's do it. Albert S is in the chat. Shout out to you. Is any word on Kyler playing? It looks like he's not. All signs are pointing to Clayton Tune getting the nod. They're not going to rush Kyler back. But I do think if you roster Kyler in Dynasty and you've held on, I would continue to do so. The signs are pointing towards the Cardinals using him not only this year, but beyond this year. I don't think they're going to move on even if they have a high draft pick. So if you are a Kyler person, make sure you stick to it. All right. Let's get into the first topic today, shall we? It's about letting go. You know, we're going to get deep here. We're going to get into our psyches here. We're going to talk about the art, the philosophy, whatever you want to call it. Maybe we can get into a little bit of the weeds. If you're in the chat, leave a question about these players. I'll answer it for you. But it's about letting go. And I'll start by telling a little story, a little personal story. So the other day, I'm hanging out with the kids and my girls. They wanted to watch Frozen. You know, if you're a parent, you've seen this movie a gajillion times. It was Frozen 1, not 2. Frozen 1. I think I'm a Frozen 1 guy. If I had to pick between 1 and 2, I think I like the first movie better. Although my favorite song of the two movies comes in the second movie. Lost in the Woods, Kristoff, power ballad extraordinaire. Love it. Love that song. It's my favorite song. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We're watching Frozen. And Elsa is one of the characters. She goes, you know, she's out in the woods. She builds this big ice palace, blah 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 blah. She's out there. Her sister finds her. She sings this big song, "Let It Go." And in the song, you know, she says, "Let it go. Can't hold me back anymore. Let it go. You know, I'm gonna run away. Slam the door." And she doesn't care what people say. The cold never bothered her anyway. And basically, this made me think of something. This is bing, something dawned in my head, because I was going through this myself. It's time, folks, to let go of some of these rookies. And this goes for redraft, dynasty. Doesn't matter. This rings true. If you are looking to win yourself a championship. If you're looking to get the chips from the dip here in 2023, it's time to start letting go of some of these rookies. Some of my favorites. Of course, let's just get this out of the way. Bijan, Gibbs, JSN, Addison, Laporta, Kincaid, Stroud. Those probably Levis now, I'd even say. Maybe even Levis. Those are the guys. They're going to help us win now. Those aren't the guys I'm going to be talking about today, because those are the guys. Yeah, you could get a whole lot for them, but that's not what we're looking to do here. We're looking to take a bunch of our rookies or rookies plus picks or whatever you, and then combine that to get some win now pieces. So those are the guys, the high-end talent. Those are the guys you're not necessarily looking to sell, but I'm talking about the other guys. And it pains me to say this. I'm talking about the Roschon Johnsons, the Kendre Millers, Tank Dells, Michael Wilsons, Marvin Mims, Michael Mayers, Bryce Youngs. It's time to let go. And the philosophy behind this is, yes, I'm not saying they're busts. I'm not saying that these rookies will never do anything in the NFL. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is Roschon now is in a situation. So we'll just go through some of these players, highlight a few of them, and I can help you potentially get on the same page as me. Because sometimes it's this perception, this unwillingness to let these guys go. And you may have some go look at your sleep app right now. Go look at some of those sleeper app stuff, and I bet you'll see some trades in which you declined that you wish you could have back, because at the time there's more hope. But we're gonna go through some of these players, talk about why they're sells, maybe talk about some trade targets, so on and so forth. My man Ruckus in the chat said he dropped Michael Wilson for a DST. Now that might be a shallow league and shallow league decision, but I did also trade Michael Wilson. I do agree that his value is low, but in Dynasty, he is on pace for over 800 receiving yards. He's in it for a pretty good rookie campaign. I do think his value is still holding true in our deeper Dynasty leagues, but let's start with Roschon. I love Roschon. Roschon's a favorite here at Player Profile. Roschon's a favorite of mine. He went to a situation that I really liked, but sometimes the fantasy ball does not bounce in the direction of the players that we favor. And unfortunately, this may be the case for Roschon Johnson. So what Roschon found himself in was a split backfield right from the get-go. Week one, it was him and Herbert against the Packers. In garbage time, he shined. Finished with over 15 fantasy points, had a bunch of receptions, scored a touchdown. But if you remember, we were all excited about the fantasy output, but if you remember that game, it was ugly. It was kind of ugly. It took him two chances to get in the end zone. There was a handful of dump-offs. And again, this is not an indictment on his talent. I still believe in Roschon Johnson's talent. I do think he'll have a chance to perform in the NFL. I just don't think it's going to happen this year. Matter of fact, I would go on a limb and say it's not going to happen consistently for him this year. So week one, he has a good game. Weeks two and three, he's under 7 fantasy points, but he looks okay. But again, he's getting outshined by Khalil Herbert. And it's not working for him. It's not firing on all cylinders. And then let's get to that week five game, Thursday Night Football, where Khalil Herbert gets hurt and he unfortunately gets a concussion. Khalil Herbert goes to the IR. He misses the next two games. And in those two games, Deontay Foreman proves his worth to the franchise, scores 3 touchdowns in week 7, was handling the rock and about 60 rushing yards, I believe, in week 6. So then when Roschon came back last week, week 8, it was, again, a split backfield. Although, not only was it a split two ways, it was split three ways. Darrington Evans gets the touchdown. Darrington Evans leads the backfield in fantasy points because he gets that touchdown. And when you factor all this in for Roschon Johnson, he's going to be in a three-headed monster no matter what. He's going to need injuries across the running back room to become the guy. Even in week 8, getting the three-way backfield, let's call it, he did run 11 routes, got 4 targets on only 11 routes. He turned that into 3 catches for 31 total yards. He had 6 carries, but only 6.1 fantasy points. Again, that's not reliable if you're trying to win a championship. And that's why you need to let go of Roschon Johnson. I don't see this situation getting more favorable. Yeah, of course, injury is going to happen. Of course, he could score a touchdown. But that Darrington Evans touchdowns, what that told me is that's Khalil Herbert's role. The outside sweep, that's going to go to the guy who has a little bit more straight line speed. That's Khalil Herbert. That's not Roschon Johnson. Deontay Foreman's not going to go away. He's kind of, he's just going to be in a committee. And I think that the community still believes in Roschon Johnson to an extent. If you look at his value on Keep Trade Cut, it's been pretty flat. He's a 21st ranked rookie right now, but his value hasn't really tanked. It spiked a little bit in early September, but it looks like he's kind of where he always started, which tells me that there's going to be some buyers for Roschon Johnson. I know I roster Roschon in a lot of places, everywhere. I roster him all over the place, and I have interest amongst my league mates, and I am now looking to sell Roschon Johnson. Some of the targets I've been using or trying to use him to go after: Javonte Williams. As we see his snap share, his usage go up and coming out of the bye, I would love to move Roschon for Javonte Williams to win now. I've tried, you know, using him in a package to go after, you know, it was Jahmyr Gibbs, but this was before last week. This was before the two big games, but that window shut. But like an Aaron Jones is a player that comes to mind. As he gets more healthy, he's going to be in a role that is very advantageous for us fantasy gamers going forward. That's a player that I'm looking to target. A Rashad White. Rashad White, there's a lot of staleness around him because what we're learning is he's James White. He's not Rashad White. He's James White. He can't run the football, but the dude can catch. And we love that in our PPR formats. So yeah, Roschon, it's time to say, time to let him go, not drop him, but trade him. It's okay to trade him. And this is also a dynasty take. If you're playing dynasty, you're saying, you said you still believe him. Yeah. I believe in a lot of players that I've traded away. I've traded away a lot of talented players, and I'm sure you have as well, because that's the name of the game. That's what we do here in fantasy. We have to make moves with better players. We can't just trade our crap and turn it into jewelry. That's just not how it works in fantasy football. So even long-term, you might be saying, dang, I wish I had Roschon, but I think this year is the perfect time to sell Roschon Johnson to try to get you a win now piece, because I do think the market value is still there. The next guy I'll touch upon a little bit more briefly is Kendre Miller, and he's just kind of in the same boat as Roschon. I just don't think he has that value. I don't think his value is maintained as strongly or as steadily as Roschon's, because there's still more hope in Roschon because he's not sharing a backfield with Alvin Kamara, who is become the de facto Davante Adams of this offense to Derek Carr. He's just getting checkdowns over and over. So Kendre Miller, you know, he's going to be overshadowed by Alvin Kamara. We saw Alvin Kamara miss three games. We saw Jamal Williams miss games, and we have yet to use Kendre Miller this season. Again, I'm not saying it'll never happen for the kid. I love his talent profile, but he's a guy now. He's ranked on Keep Trade Cut as the 25th ranked rookie. His value is not going to be as strong as a Roschon Johnson, in my opinion, in most leagues. But it's, again, you package these players and you make runs. You go out and you try to acquire win now players. Some guys that, you know, you could trade Kendre Miller for, you're probably looking about, a little bit lesser down the list, a little bit less impactful players. But I still think you can make a move for Ramondre Stevenson here using Kendre Miller. And I don't love Ramondre, but he is getting, the work that we like in fantasy. He is going to be one of the leaders in that backfield throughout the rest of the season. He's still going to get a bunch of receptions, especially now with no Kendrick Bourne, who is their best playmaker, and he's out for the season. So that would be Ramondre, I think, he's a player that could be in your sights. Here's a wild one, and maybe I'll catch some flack for this, but if I have Kendre Miller and this is in dynasty and I'm looking to win now, I would sell Kendre Miller for Leonard Fournette. Let the bullets fly, people. It's okay. But I think Leonard Fournette in this offense, he looks in shape, he looks ready to rock. And I talked about this on the Hurdle with Cody Carpentier Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. I believe this was the Tuesday episode. We were talking about Leonard Fournette. We both see a situation where if he comes out hot, they're not going to push him aside. They brought in Lombardi Lenny to give them that more veteran presence. I know James Cook's been playing well, and his role won't dissipate completely. But if Leonard Fournette comes in, gives them the push that they need, both kind of being able to dress up their play calling, because when you see James Cook on the field, you know you can kind of tackle him easy, so you don't really need to stack the box. You can kind of play him back and then maybe get him to dump the ball off. His efficiencies have kind of gone down as the season's worn on, which is, you know, one of the unfortunate factors of being an undersized back. Leonard Fournette gives this kind of three down purpose skill set. And I think if he does well with that, and, you know, he's got the confidence in Josh Allen and the offense is working well, I do think there's a situation where that Leonard Fournette could be a real difference maker down the stretch. So Kendre Miller for Leonard Fournette, it doesn't sound great. A few months ago, we've been like, now. I think that's a win now strategy. Tank Dell and Michael Wilson, I'm going to lump these two together. I actually just traded these two in a package in my home league where I got Cortland Sutton, Chuba Hubbard, because I already had Miles Sanders, and Devin Singletary. Now, this trade's looking like a smash now that Chuba's been given the confidence of the coach. Devin Singletary is going to be the lead back this week, so it will present a flip situation, a buy low, sell high for your boy, but that's neither here nor there. This is to talk about in a more broader scope. Michael Wilson is going to be dealing with a lot of, let's just call it, downs coming up. You know, we talked about Kyler earlier. He's not back this week. Clayton Tune, what is that going to look like? He worked with Josh Dobbs. It was fine. Michael Wilson's putting together a good season. Tank Dell, you know, flashed two games, weeks two and three. He looked really, really good with CJ Stroud. But the problem is neither of these guys will be the alpha in their lineup this year. They will not be the most targeted volume getters in their pass catching offense. Tank Dell has to worry about Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz. Robert Woods, you know, he's been hurt. When he comes back, he just kind of fogs it up a little bit more. And Michael Wilson is dealing with Hollywood Brown, who's having a pretty good season. And now, on top of that, Trey McBride. Trey McBride, you know him? The guy who had 100 targets, had an 82% target share last week. Yeah, Trey McBride, he's in. And they're going to use Trey McBride going forward. Leaves Michael Wilson to be that kind of downfield, go-get-him type of role, which is good. But it's not the role that you're trying to secure when you're winning a championship. Because part of, in my opinion, and we'll get into this real quick, part of my philosophy for putting together a championship team is incrementally getting better on the margins. Because if you're good, you have a few studs. And I believe that in your standard, say, start 10 league, I believe you need three. You need three difference makers. You need a franchise player, someone who week in and week out puts you in an upper echelon of scoring output in comparison to your league, and then two other ancillary players that are similar, maybe not your franchise guy. Maybe you could be, you know, there are leagues that have Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase and Bijan Robinson. They've been dynasty, you know, dynasty bulking up for years, and they have that. But I'm talking about, you know, the more broader scope here. You want those three that keep you elevated, but then you want to incrementally get better. Just get a little better on your flex. Keep getting better on your flex. If you play in a dinosaur league, dinosaur leagues are the leagues that have kickers and defenses. I'm in a number of those. If you're in a dinosaur league, you know, trading for a defense, go get one of the best defenses. Go get Harrison Butker, go one of these best kickers out there. I know it sounds gross, but at the end of the day, you're trying to win on these margins. You're trying to push up that scoring output. If you play on pretty much any platform, they give you that projection going into your week. I know it's not foolproof, but let's face it. You, me, everybody else, we love seeing that number look higher than everyone else's. And when you're going to win a championship, when you're pushing to win a championship, these roles become more and more important. So if you have a Tank Dell and he's not your backup receiver because you have a, call it, Cortland Sutton that you put in during the buys, or just, you know, a higher floor player. Now's the time to move on from Tank Dell. Now's the time to move on from Michael Wilson, because these players can get you wins on the margin. They can get you better so that weekly projection goes up, which is exactly what we need when we're talking championship runs, people. We want to bolster up that off. We do not want to sit here and hope, you know, and just sit back and try to gather hopes and wishes. We want to get those fantasy points. We want to bulk up this team, and these are the time. This is the time to trade these players away. Michael Mayer, I thought was going to start potentially breaking out. Might be a little bit strong term, but I thought we were going to see him kind of jump up at least into that tight end muck, where he's going to be good. He's obviously going to be bad, but he's going to be better than bad more often than not. But these last 2 weeks, 3.3 fantasy points, 2.9 fantasy points. He saw six targets in week six, which we like, but then we saw six targets in the following 2 weeks combined. No red zone targets over each of the last 2 weeks. It just doesn't seem like they're going to utilize him to the extent. And now with the new coaching change, you have to imagine Antonio Pierce is going to game plan around Myers and Adams. If he's going to keep this job and he's going to keep this team feeling confident, he's got to make the two receivers who definitely weren't happy after last week's game. He's got to have to make those guys. He's going to appease those guys. Plus, he's still got a workhorse running back in Josh Jacobs. I do think this team plays a little bit better. I think that's good for our fantasy squads because at the end of the day, Aiden O'Connell is not a massive downgrade from Jimmy G at this point in Jimmy G's career. So I think that the hyper-focused on Adams, the hyper-focus on Myers, and then, of course, the running game is going to leave Michael Mayer on the outside looking in. And Michael Mayer right now, you know, he's a top 20 rookie on keep trade cut. A lot of people are high on him long-term. I like Michael Mayer long-term, but the fact of the matter is Laporta, Kincaid, they're giving you output now. I put two guys together. That's a basketball player. Sometimes sports, I just have so many sports in my mind all the time. I love sports. I love all different sports. Players just sneak in and they eke out of my mouth. Like what just happened. I took Michael Mayer and Sam Laporta and made Michael Porter Jr. from the Denver Nuggets. But Michael Mayer can be moved now. Michael Mayer can be moved for a player that's going to help you win now. And again, this might be something that makes you feel a little nervous later on, but right now we're looking to win right now. And the player that I'd be looking to move him for is Dalton Schultz. That sounds gross, but Dalton Schultz is a top three tight end for Player Profiler this week. Dalton Schultz has been getting more and more of a piece of the pie from CJ Stroud. We like CJ Stroud. Another player that I would be targeting is a Cole Kmet, Trey McBride, if possible, Jake Ferguson plus. I think all of these are on the table, and I think that these floors are more set in stone than a guy like Michael Mayer. And let's just say, but there are the swing for the grand slam type of situations. No doubt about that, ladies and gents. There are these leagues, and some of you listening are maybe a part of this, where you feel like a TJ Hockenson, Travis Kelce, or Mark Andrews is gettable. Now, are you taking Mayer and flipping him straight up for those guys? Absolutely not. But Mayer is that type of piece you can build a deal around. You know, he's a second-round tight end. He was one of the most highly sought-after tight end prospects in recent years in terms of the overall – I mean, the class is just looking so good. So in hindsight, this seems like a crazy take. But going into the draft process, Michael Mayer was regarded as the number one prospect at the tight end position. So that has not dissipated. That has not gone away. The community has not forgotten that this guy can ball out. And, you know, just a few weeks, week six, reminded us of his ceiling. And even in week 8, I know the volume wasn't there, but that catch that he made going towards the sideline was a very strong catch, where he caught the ball at the high point. He's a good player. So I do think that this is a time now. It's time to let him go. It's time to move on. The last guy that I'm talking about is Bryce Young. Bryce Young, number one overall pick, super talented quarterback. Got his first win. Congratulations to him and the Carolina Panthers. Got their first win last week. But the fact of the matter is we are now deep into the regular season for our fantasy leagues, and he's QB27 overall. He's scoring only 13 points a game, and there's really no light at the end of the tunnel. The win last week was an ugly one. He only scored 14.5 fantasy points. He threw for one touchdown, 235 yards, only 191 air yards. He is accurate, though. He is accurate, and I'm going to touch upon Bryce Young here in a little bit in terms of the bargain bin, so a little stay tuned for that. But overall, through the course of the rest of the season, this is a dynasty play. This is a super flex dynasty play. I'm okay letting go of Bryce Young. It's going to make you think to yourself, I don't know. He's in one overall pick. I get it, but you might be able to take Bryce Young and go for someone like a Dak Prescott. A week ago, I would have said go after Kirk Cousins, but that's not going to happen anymore. He's done for the season, guys. That's all right. Get it together. But Geno Smith has some favorable matchups down the stretch. You could get him plus Sam Howell. You could get him, who's playing like a good fantasy producer right now. So the that's pretty much going to wrap it up. This is it. Letting go. It's time to let it go. Let it go. Sorry, I didn't mean to get in it again. Disney, always on the head. Chaos in the head. No guests, so I'm just going crazy. But bro, guys like Roshan, Kendre, Tank Dell, Michael Wilson, Michael Mayer, Bryce Young, these are the guys that we want to hold on to. But if you're looking at your roster and you're seeing a championship contender, you're seeing a team that can win in 2023, you got to do right by the boys. You got to do right by your boys. You got to win now. You got to do what is best. Listen, there is some luck to fantasy football. I know that. But you know what else is part of fantasy football? The vibes. The vibes. You know, getting the team to believe in you. Winning starts at the top in professional sports. It also starts at the top of our fantasy leagues. I know they don't know me. I know Travis Kelce is not my boy, but he's on my team, and I'm going to do right by him, trying to get him a championship. So I'm going to take these pieces. I'm going to take my Tank Dells. I'm going to take my Roshans, and I'm going to try to get some win-now pieces so that I can hoist that damn trophy at the end of this whole thing, make all of this craziness, all of this hustle, this grind worth it. So, ladies and gents, I'm hoping you heard my message here today. It's okay to let it go. Now, I hope you stick around because we are going to dive into the bargain bin, get you some sleeper players that can help you win in week 9. But before we do that, let's hear from Bettle.
Oh, I see it every day online, every single day. Hey, that looks like a great fantasy team in an 8-team league. Oh, wish I could be in a league with you, right? Well, guess what? Now you can respond with, sure, let's play on Bettle. That's the beauty of this platform. This new Bettle platform standardizes all position scoring. So you just load your team and you challenge your friend, your colleague, Twitter troll, and you can browse other teams and issue challenges. Bettle is revolutionizing fantasy football. And with code UNDERWORLD, you get a $100 instant deposit match plus a free $10. So even if you deposit $20, you get $50. Think about that. So go to Bettle.com. The code is UNDERWORLD. Bettle.com. The code is UNDERWORLD. Or click a link in the description. It's fun to be right.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Matty Cume here. The game plan. Before we dive into the bargain bin, let's answer some of the questions in the chat. Ruckus has asked me to grade the trade. It's DJ Moore. It's Gus Buss for McLaurin and Javonte in 10 team. I would give this, so he's getting McLaurin and Javonte. I think Javonte is an upgrade from Gus Buss. McLaurin's pretty close. I'm going to give this a B minus. I think it's a lot of running in the same place in terms of your receiver, but the incremental upgrade at a position that's so sought after in fantasy makes a whole lot of sense. Chef's asking, is Will Levis a hold? Yes, he is. In your one QB formats, if you can move him for to bolster up another position, I would do that. But in Superflex, absolutely a hold. I know he did not wow anybody when it comes to the fantasy output this past week. But, man, he made some throws that truly just suck. They suck the air out of the stadium. They are like, whoa. Throws. They're big throws. And I'm not going to sit here and say he's the next Patrick Mahomes. I am not going to say that because I'm not in the business of blowing smoke up anyone's skirt. But what I will say here, let's remember Patrick Mahomes' rookie season. Didn't play. Alex Smith, quarterback, Kansas City Chiefs all year long. Week 17, last game of the year. Patrick Mahomes gets the nod. He was pretty good. Not bad. It wasn't like, oh my God, he's here. No, but he did make a throw over the middle of the field that was like, oh, did you guys see that? It was a throw that you'd be at the water cooler the next day in the office and be like, did you see that kid from Texas Tech? Like, with Mahomes? You know, his dad played in big leagues. Did you see that throw he made? That was a good throw. And Will Levis now has started 2 weeks, and he has made he's made a number of throws that make you go, wow, that's something to behold. And I think that now what the Titans have to do is – they need to get him some weapons, shore up that offensive line over the next handful of years, because I do think that they have something here when it comes to their quarterback. So, he's a hold. Long way to say he's a hold. Roshan and Jeff Wilson, apples and apples with A-Chain coming back. Yeah, I'm not trading Roshan for Jeff Wilson because I think that they're kind of the same situation. They're both going to be in, shares committees with other players where Roshan is probably the most talented of the bunch. Jeff Wilson is not. So I'm going to keep Roshan in that regard. So I don't think that they're apples to apples per se, but their situations are tough enough or similar enough to make the comparison. Should I target Kamara? Own it to sell Miller too? Sure. Yeah, that's a great strategy. Chef, that's a great strategy when it comes to letting go some of these rookies like Kendre or Roshan. If you can take them and sell them to the team that has Khalil Herbert or has Alvin Kamara, you might be able to get a little bit more, but I would not make that my only strategy. I would not be the only, I wouldn't put all my eggs in that type of basket because, it's not exactly how I want it to go. Yeah. He's holding Snoopy. What up? Snoopy's holding onto Billy Jeans. Billy Jeans. What is this reference? Two guys in my league made that his nickname. Billy, is that something that he says or I don't know. So someone explain to me what the Billy Jeans thing, because now I've seen it I've seen that enough. Jonathan Link, the producer extraordinaire. Everyone be sure to smash that like button and subscribe for more content. Listen to the man. He's very, very smart. Listen to the man. All right, let's dive on into the bargain bin. We're going to start at quarterback. If you're new to the show, first and foremost, thank you so much for tapping in. But the bargain bin is we're going quarterback, running back, receiver, and tight end. We are going, these are players who are rostered under 50% in sleeper or ESPN formats. If you play Yahoo, if you play CBS, it's pretty much probably, I don't know the exact rostership percentages, but it's going to be in the same ballpark. You should be able to add them in a lot of those contests. So let's get into quarterback. It's Bryce Young. I know I just talked about letting go, but in your one QB, you know, if you formats where you need a quarterback this week, maybe you're Trevor Lawrence guy or Jared Goff guy, and you need to pick somebody up. I think Bryce Young is the way to go in the bargain bin this week. He's only rostered in 14.2% of ESPN leagues, 28% on sleeper. He's QB 14 in the player profile ranks this week for week 9. The matchup, Vegas projects it to be a pretty decent fantasy matchup. There's an over under of 44 points, which is the third highest on the slate. And they're home dogs, 2.5 point home dogs, which 2.5 points isn't a lot. But I would say that, I just skipped a beat because I saw the explanation of Billy Jean's in the chat. And now my brain's all because it makes sense. But anyway, 2.5 point home dogs suggest that they may be in comeback mode, or at least going tit for tat, pound for pound, slugfest for slugfest, you know, haymaker for haymaker type with the Indianapolis Colts. So I like what Vegas is telling me here when it comes to the matchup. And then when you look at Indianapolis, the middle of the league and pass rush, so he should have some time. They get the 7th worst coverage grade on PFF. They have the 7th most passing yards surrendered in the league. And they're vulnerable against rushing QBs. I know Bryce Young hasn't shown off the legs much in 2023, but we are all familiar of the prospect. We are all familiar that he can scoot a bit, and that could help out get those fantasy points this week because the Colts are vulnerable to rushing quarterbacks. They've given up the 3rd most yards, and they're tied for 1st in quarterback rushing touchdowns. So he could get you some extra statistics, some extra fantasy points in the run game. And then we look at some of the stats that are encouraging. He hasn't thrown a pick since week 5. So he's controlling the football. He's not going to get you those minus points in those leagues. He's got a 70% or better completion percentage in 2 of his last 4. So the accuracy is starting to come together. That's something we like to see. And his yards per attempt have increased each week over the season. From week 1, it was 3.8. Last week, 7.6. So we're seeing a guy player whose coaches are letting him air it out more and more and more, go downfield. Thielen's been good for them. Jonathan Mingo's been sneaky solid for them, but that's another rookie that you could let it go if you need to. And then another thing that's exciting about Bryce Young is there is some potential for positive regression, aka progression. His expected fantasy points is almost 4 points higher than his fantasy points per game. So what that suggests is he hasn't really had the touchdowns, so maybe that kind of normalizes with a big game this week. So that is why Bryce Young is my quarterback bargain bin play of the week. Let's head over to running back. Running back is always a fun one. It's a hard one to hit on because there's not a whole lot of wiggle room when it comes to finding these bargain bin players. What's the rule that Scott Connor always says? It's one of my favorite rules in fantasy football. It's if they're on a 53, they're for me. And that's running. It's perfect for running backs because the second guys become the 3rd in line, they're picked up in at least 45% of leagues. So it's tough to find the guys that are widely available that you can use to win in week 9. But the guy I'm going with this week in a pinch, Royce Freeman. The Rams are at Green Bay. We have him at running back 45, a player profiler this week. Obviously, a lot of people are going to be touting Darrell Henderson. Henderson's been the lead guy in this backfield, and that makes sense. I get why they would tout a guy like Henderson in a matchup with an advantageous matchup like the Rams have this week for running back, but he's not available, folks. He's not there in the bargain bin, but you know who is? Mr. Royce Freeman. He's rostered in only 22.2% of ESPN leagues, only 25% of sleeper leagues. So this guy is about 75% available across both platforms. They are getting 3 points on the road, which makes it's kind of a pick'em type of game. And it's only a 38.5 over-under. So Vegas is kind of predicting it be a potentially gross game, but a grind-them-out type of projection, kind of a slug type of game. And that's going to be good for the running backs on both sides. Green Bay, they've given up 4.39 fantasy points over league average. That's the fourth highest mark, according to the player profiler metric. And they're tied for fourth for most rushing TDs allowed. So there is a world where Henderson can kind of get the volume, but Royce Freeman can still find pay dirt. Royce Freeman can still rip off some good runs here and get enough volume to be usable in your running back two type of role. And some of the stats that we're looking at here for Royce Freeman, now remember, it's really a two-game sample size that we're looking at. Kyren Williams was the man. He was on pace to be the fantasy darling of 2023 before his injury. So we really only have those two games to look at when it comes to the statistics of Royce Freeman. But there are some encouraging ones even in there. He's averaging 10.5 carries a game, and he's averaging 8.5 fantasy points. Not terrible. Again, we're looking for what we're looking for here is we're looking for 10 points. Let's just call a spade a spade. We're looking for 10 points here if we're looking for an RB2. We're looking for that. And he's been only a point and a half less than that over the course of the average of the two games he's played. He's got the 10.5 carries per game. Now, again, no Stafford, or I shouldn't say no Stafford this week. Stafford is trending towards not playing this week. It seems like it's pretty unlikely that he will play as he comes back from that thumb injury. And even if he does play, he's playing with a really bad thumb here. And I don't know, your thumb, look at it. It's kind of important when it comes to throwing the football. Kind of important. So I don't see the air raid attack coming, even with no more Rasul Douglas on the Packers. Rasul Douglas is the best cornerback, or has been the best cornerback on this Packers team this season. So if he was healthy, I would be touting Puka. I'd be touting Cooper Kupp. It'd be an air raid type of game. But with no Stafford or a hurt Stafford, I think there's going to be a lot of running back touches to go around. And Royce Freeman is there in a bunch of situations. Jonathan in the chat, shout out to the producer extraordinaire that they brought up a QB from the practice squad today. Good note. Glad you're here, Jonathan, because that's again, another indication that Stafford, he ain't going to play this week. So Royce Freeman in a pinch, go ahead and get Royce Freeman in your lineup. Here we go down to wide receiver of the bargain bin. I went deep here. This is wide receiver 51 on the player profile ranks for week 9. Wan'Dale Robinson. The Giants are in Vegas this week. Now, this is not a matchup play. Sometimes when we're going to the bargain bin, we look at two things. It's either a good matchup or there's something else. It's either their recent stats that they've put out, their underlying metrics suggests a big game. This is that. This is not a good matchup. But anyway, he is widely available, only rostered in 6.3% of ESPN leagues, 31% of sleeper leagues, so you can add him. The Giants are 1.5 road underdogs, and the over-under of 37.5. Not great. I wouldn't think that Vegas is all that excited about their hometown team in terms of output this week. Aiden O'Connell, new head coach. But it can't get much worse than what Jimmy G was doing. And we saw the Raiders. We've seen the Raiders be in games that there was plenty of fantasy points to go around. So that over under seems a bit low to me. So maybe hit that over. There's another betting tip for you guys out there. I mean, even though you don't come to the game plan for betting tips, but that's what we got. We got a bunch of information. Now the Vegas Raiders, they're middle of the road when it comes to pass rushing and coverage grades. They're not bad, but they're not good. They're right there in the middle of the league. So they can be taken advantage of when it comes to slot points awarded in the slot fantasy points given away, or how would you say that? The defense gives up about just over league average amount of fantasy points to slot receivers. We just saw Amon-Ra St. Brown score over 18 fantasy points, go over 100 yards against him. And I'm not saying Wan'Dale Robinson is Amon-Ra St. Brown, but I'm saying that the role produces or has the ability to produce. Now, with Daniel Jones, this is what I want to talk about. So it's either a matchup play or it's something else. It's stats over the last couple of games or an injury, a role change, these type of things. With Daniel Jones, okay, so Daniel Jones missed the last 2 weeks with a neck injury. The 3 weeks before the injury, he targeted Wandale Robinson six times, eight times. And when he targeted him 8 times, he went for 60 yards. He was wide receiver 23 overall in week 6. We've seen his snap share increase over the course of the season. 78.7% in week 8 was the high water mark for Wandale Robinson. So I think we're kind of, you know, the two boats, they're meeting in the sea here, nose to nose here, starboard. I don't know anything about boats. I don't even know if those words mean anything for boats, but they're meeting here where we're seeing a guy get on the field more and more. And the guy who targeted him, Daniel Jones, is back at the helm. So if he targeted him 6 times on a 60% snap share, targeted him 8 times on a 65% snap share, could he get 10 targets? If he's on the field for 70, 75%, 80% hits the new high water mark? I think so. And again, no Darren Waller this week. No revenge game for Darren Waller. He is going to miss this week's games with a hamstring injury. So that's going to, again, give more confidence for Daniel Jones to target his second favorite pass catcher, Wandale Robinson. And it's not like Wandale Robinson's a scrub. His metrics, you know, you pop the hood open, you look under the underlying metrics, they don't make you go, wow, this dude's a stud. But I will say this, the 2.54 target separation is fifth highest in the league. So in a game where Daniel Robinson's going to be looking for someone because he does not have Darren Waller, and he sees a guy like Wandale Robinson open, even if it's only for 2 yards down the field, you know, he's not a high A dot guy, he's not a high yards per route run guy, but if he sees him open in the middle of the field right in front of him, there it is. Boom, doom, 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 doom. We could be in for a good PPR day. We could see a top 25 finish. We saw it just a couple weeks ago. So Wandale Robinson in a pinch might be the guy for your squad, gets you that win here in week 9. Now let's move on to the tight end. I say this every single week because it's so important. Tight end is the most important position when we're talking about the bargain bin because so many of us don't have these stud tight ends. I know the landscape is changing. The landscape is starting to look more and more solid, especially for our 10 and 12 team leagues where all of us are starting to be able to put together a really, a tight end that produces. But we're still not there quite yet, so we're going to have to target the bargain bin. Before I do that, I just want to give a shout-out to the Fantasy Empire. They've been with us here this whole season. Nando and Chris are doing a great job. Check them out here on the Player Profiler Network of shows, the Fantasy Empire. Great stuff. They're killing it. And I'm so happy to be on the same team as that. I mean, I'm going to take a little sidebar. Nando DeFino used to work over at CBS when I was not a kid. I'm not, like, it was only a handful of years ago, but I remember listening to him for fantasy baseball, fantasy football at CBS. Love this one. And now we're kind of on the same team. It's wild. So make sure you're checking out the Fantasy Empire. Drum roll, please. Here we go. Gerald Everett at New York Jets Monday Night Football. We got him at tight end 19 here on Player Profile. Now, I will say this. We do have some other options that we have ranked higher in our ranks, like Trey McBride might still be available. Taysom Hill might still be available. Luke Musgrave. Those guys are still they're not as available as a Gerald Everett. But I also wanted to dig a little bit deeper here because in some leagues, those percentages, those rostership percentages are climbing for those players, especially Bride and Hill, as well as they've played. So I want to go deeper. Gerald Everett is only rostered in about 30% of both ESPN and Sleeper platforms. The matchup looks like it should be okay. Vegas projects it to be fine. Nothing really overly exciting or bad. Kind of there in the middle, 3.5-point road favorites for the Chargers and a 40-point over-under, which, again, is on the upper half of the slate, but, again, really towards the middle part of the slate. So, but, again, something that we want to attack here. And, again, this is a matchup thing. Again, we talked about it. Is it a matchup or something else? It's a matchup. Get the New York football Jets, the fighting Jets, they've given up the most touchdowns to opposing tight ends, and that's what we're looking for, right? Right. And also, when you look at the player profiler metric to league average, which is one of my favorite to look at for advantageous matchups, the Jets have given up 4.83 fantasy points over league average to opposing tight ends. That means that they're the second most advantageous in that metric. So that's good, and that's because they give up a lot of tight ends. And sometimes when we're streaming tight ends, you want to keep it simple, right? Kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. And we're just looking for a tight end to score a touchdown. One touchdown can get you in the top 10. One touchdown can make your day. And Gerald Everett's a guy who can score touchdowns. He missed last week, week 8, but the two previous weeks, he scored a touchdown in each of those two contests and finished inside the top 10 because of the touchdown. So he's not allergic to scoring touchdowns. He's part of their game plan when it comes to scoring touchdowns. So Gerald Everett is a guy that can score a touchdown, and they're going against a team that gives a touchdown to tight ends. It feels like a perfect marriage. Now, the Jets will have Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed back on the field. They had them last week as well. And I think that that could slow the volume a tad for the receivers for the Chargers, which is going to open up a lot more volume to the tight end and the running back. Of course, Eckler is Eckler. He could have 12 targets and no one would bat a dang eye. But as long as six of those go to Everett and two of them go in the red zone and one is caught for a touchdown, that is what we're looking for here in the bargain bin. So to summarize it all up for you guys, Bryce Young at quarterback, Royce Freeman at running back, Wandale Robinson at wide receiver, and Gerald Everett at tight end. That is the bargain bin for this week. Now, we got a few questions in the chat. I'll hit them up before we get on out of here, and you guys can enjoy the rest of your beautiful Saturday. Jonathan Santiago, should I keep holding Pierce or drop him for Pop Douglas or Jahan Dotson? My running backs are Monty, Jones, Walker, and Pierce. I think I'd hold Pierce. I don't like Pierce really at all, but Jonathan, I think I'd hold here because Monty's not 100% healthy. Walker's starting to see this weird thing where Charbonnet's getting more touches. Aaron Jones isn't completely healthy. And I think there is a world where you do have to rely on Damian Pierce at some point in the future. Now, Chef gave us Snoopy gave us the answer here for the Billy Jeans. Bill, Will, Levi's, Jeans, Billy Jeans, duh, boom, perfect. Some nicknames are just perfect. Oh, here we go. Dustin Pooley needs one. He needs a flex of Rice, Mayers, Singletary, or Pop Douglas. I'm going with if you need ceiling, if you're going against one of the best scorers in the league, give me Rashee Rice. He's popping in the cup score. If you're not familiar with that, go over to patreon.com/theexecutives and check that out. But Jacoby Myers, if you need safety, I'm going Jacoby Myers. I think he bounces back in a good way this week. Do we have any more questions before we... Okay, here we go. Caleb, Wandale Robinson or Christian Watson? I can't go Wandale over Christian Watson in half-point PPR. I'm going to go Christian Watson for sure. That seems a little bit... That makes me a little nervous. I'd still go Christian Watson, but again, I love some Wandale Robinson this week. Probably not available Taysom Hill. Yeah, I agree, Snoopy. If he was available, I do like him. I mean, the way they're using him is crazy, and his output is bananas. Half-point PPR, Puka or Lockett? This was a smash for Puka, but now it seems like it might not be as big of a smash given the injury to Matthew Stafford, given to what we do. We don't know how it's going to go, but I'm still going to go Puka this week. But if it looks ugly, you might have to make a change. But Daniel, half-point PPR, go Puka this week. And then overall, would I start Puka this week? Over most. In a league that I do roster him, I think let me just pull up the old roster here, and I can give you a little bit of personal strategy here that I'm deploying here so you can see what I'm doing. I have Puka Nacua in the league, and I'm playing him over I have to play him because everyone's on bye. But, yeah, I'm playing him over most. Where it gets close for me is probably if you have him or Nico Collins, I might go Nico. If you have him and Zay Flowers, I'd go Flowers. Puka or Amari Cooper, I'm going to Amari Cooper. But other than that, I'm going to play Puka Nacua this week. Flex, he's got a flex two in PPR. Daryl Henderson, Devin Singletary, Rashee Rice, and Hollywood. For me, in PPR, I'm going to go with Rice and Hollywood. Give me Rice, give me Hollywood. And that is going to be the show. Thank you all so much for tapping in. Make sure you are subscribed to the Player Profiler YouTube channel if you're not already. Like this video. If you have any lineup comments, if you have any roster questions, trade questions, leave them in the chat or leave them in the comment section here on YouTube, and I will get back to them. Make sure you're doing that. Make sure you're tapping into the Trade Gods, me and Jason Allwine, every other Wednesday. I will be on Starter Stream tomorrow. My man Matt Babich, love doing love collabing with Matt Babbage. Head over to TikTok. We got a number of TikTok accounts. Player Profiler and Profiler underscore NFL. You got to be tapped into that. Go to playerprofiler.com to get all of the articles, podcasts, shows, all the good stuff that we're doing here. And if you just can't get enough of your boy, head on over to the Patreon, patreon.com/theexecutives, me and Cody Carpentier's Patreon, or you can tap into the Hurdle Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays here on YouTube on the player or on the Executives of Fantasy Football YouTube channel. Make sure that you're getting yourself ready to win this week, because I want to see you get them dubs. If you have any questions, again, find me in Discord. Find me on X at Matty Kiwoom. Find me right here in the comments. So keep game planning, my friends, and I will talk to you next week. Peace.